I wonder if you are one of these people who have, or perhaps dream, of one day doing something like skydiving or bungee jumping. Perhaps if you have, or if you plan or hope to one day, perhaps you could drop it in the comments, mostly so that I can know who to be praying for this week. Now, I can't imagine much worse than jumping out of a plane or doing a bungee jump, but that's because I don't particularly like heights. It's not something I aspire to. And maybe you're like me, maybe the thought of a bungee jump or a skydive just seems crazy to you, but I'm sure we can all remember perhaps riding our bike for the first time without stabilisers on, or perhaps trying out ice skating or rollerblading. Maybe for some of us it was on a youth Jack Petchy trip to Canary Wharf ice rink. You see, there's a moment, whether you're skydiving or bungee jumping or ice skating or riding a bike, where you ultimately have to just let go. If you're holding onto the side at the ice rink, if you're on the plane, if you are on the platform waiting to bungee jump, there's a moment where you just have to let go and step out. If we really want to move as we are supposed to do. You know, when you go ice skating, I'm not a very good ice skater. I do it maybe once a year if I end up being unlucky and end up having to be part of doing it. But you know, I'm one of those people who, when the ice skate is holding on desperately at the side, and maybe you know what it's like, or you've watched people ice skate where you're kind of tiptoeing on the ice skates on a slippy surface, desperately holding onto the wall, and everyone around you is flying past you, they're speeding, they're having a great time, and you're clinging onto the wall thinking, I am going to die. I don't know what to do. How is anybody having fun? This is so scary and so dangerous. But let's be honest, if you're clinging onto the side, tiptoeing on a slippy surface, you might be on skates, but you're not really ice skating, are you? See, there's a moment where we've got to be brave, where we push off from the side and trust that our skates will work, that we won't fall on our face, and we'll start to glide across the surface. When you step off the platform on the bungee jump or out of the plane when skydiving, you've got to let go of the edge. You've got to trust the equipment, be it the rope or the parachute. See, it's in stepping out that what you're doing comes into being. Faith moves into action. The rope takes the tension. The parachute opens, but it requires a step of faith, of trust, of action. If you want to skate or ride the bike, you've got to let go of the wall. If you want to bungee jump, you've got to step off the platform. And today in the gospel reading, we are challenged afresh to see that if we want to walk on water, we've got to be willing to get out the boat. If we want to live all in for Jesus, we got to take steps. We got to do action. It's not just words, but if we want to follow Jesus as he calls us to do, it's not just the words of our mouth, it's the every part of our lives, all of our being. But if we want to be all in for Jesus, we do so with our eyes firmly focused on the one who tells us to come, to follow him, to step out into the midst of life's storms, to walk upon the waters with the one who comes to meet us in the midst of the storm. Now, last week, we started this new series looking at the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels, coming afresh to these stories which encourage us again to look at who our Saviour is and what he calls us to do, what response he asks each of us who wish to follow him to make. And last week, if you were with us, we opened up the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We saw that in Jesus' hands, our lunchboxes become banquets. That Jesus calls us to join in with his rescue plan for the world. One boy saw his lunchbox feed 5,000 plus people. What has Jesus put in your hands, which he can use to meet the needs of those around us? Jesus calls us to join in with him, to be moved to action, to trust in him, And today we pick up the story right after last week's events. Now let me first offer the same word of caution. For many of us, I know these stories are really familiar. If we've grown up in Sunday school, we probably know the story of Peter and Jesus walking on the water. But let's not get so comfortable with the story that we miss out on what God wants to say to us today. What detail does he want to draw our attention to? A story that we might have dismissed as just for children in Sunday school, what might God want to speak afresh into each of our lives? Where have we got so comfortable with this story as children? We don't even think anything of saying Peter walks on water. Like, this is an incredible story. Let's look at it afresh this morning and trust, what does God want to whisper into our hearts and minds today? Let's jump into the story together. See, our gospel reading picks up straight after where we left last week. Matthew says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples go ahead of him out on the boat as he dismissed the crowd following their feast. And where did Jesus go? Well, like the start of last week's story, Jesus goes up the mountain to spend time alone with his Father. Jesus pursues solitude and intimacy with the Father, taking time to pray. And whilst Jesus does that, the disciples head out on the boat to cross Lake Galilee. As the disciples sail out, a storm rises up. And when the disciples are a long way from shore, the winds batter the sides of the boat all night. Hey, I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but what exactly was the plan? You see, Jesus sent the disciples on ahead of him to cross the river. But how was Jesus actually planning to catch them up? He couldn't just call Uber to drive them round to catch them up. There's no train route. He sends the disciples off across the river while he waits behind. How was Jesus going to catch up? But you see, Jesus sends the disciples on ahead of them, and nobody stops and asks questions. The disciples take the boat. Jesus goes up the mountain to pray. How is he going to make up the time and the effort? There's a lot of unknowns. But the disciples get an instruction from Jesus and they do it. Maybe they trusted Jesus to figure out his own travel logistics. Maybe it just never crossed their minds. But Jesus said, go, and they do. They didn't have 100 questions before they went. They just go. And whilst out on Lake Galilee, they battle all night with the wind and the storm. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, writes Matthew, that means that it's sometime between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus comes to them walking on the sea. In the middle of the night, after hours of sailing out into the lake, suddenly the disciples are aware that something is coming towards them. And understandably, they're absolutely terrified. Jesus comes to them walking on the sea. And in hearing the fear in his disciples' screams, Jesus says, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. What happens next? Peter, my favourite disciple, probably many of our favourite disciple, always the one to speak before he thinks, says, Jesus, if it's you, command me to come and I will come to you on the water. I mean, what? It's a storm. They're terrified. What does Peter ask to do? Jesus, tell me to come and I'm going to get out of this boat, the darkest point of the night, and I'm going to walk on water to you. What kind of crazy ultimatum is that? What was Peter thinking? Jesus says, come. Peter swings his feet over the side of the boat, walks on water towards Jesus. I mean, can we just take a moment? That is an incredible situation. But, and we all know the but, Peter, walking on water, suddenly takes his eyes off of Jesus. He sees the wind. He realizes what he's doing. He remembers that it's impossible to walk on water, and he's terrified. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He starts to sink. He cries out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reaches out and takes him by the hands and walks him back to the boat. And as Jesus and Peter climb aboard the ship, the wind dies down. The disciples worship Jesus. There's a deeper recognition that Jesus is the Son of God and he's worthy of their praise. What a story. How extraordinary. What might God want to say to each of us in this short story today? Well, firstly, I think for all of us, there's a reminder that in the midst of a storm, Jesus comes to meet us. In the darkest moments of the night, just before dawn, the disciples have been battling the wind for hours before Jesus comes to meet them on the water. In the midst of today's battles, in the storms we are facing, are we looking up expecting to see Jesus coming towards us in the storm? Are our eyes on our circumstances or on the one who walks towards us? Where is God today? Do you need to pray for the faith and the ability to see where God is at work in and around you today, working in your circumstances and storms to work all things for his glory and our good? He's with you. He walks towards you in the midst of the storm, through the darkest of nights. Do you know that to be true today? Twice in this story, Jesus gives an instruction that doesn't seem to make much sense. First, he tells the disciples to travel on without him. And when Peter asks to walk to him on water, he simply says, "Come." Both times, the disciples and then Peter choose to obey, to trust, to take Jesus at his word. I wonder, when God gives us an instruction, how do we respond? Do we trust, or do we want more information? Do we just have a couple more questions, Jesus, before we go? Do we try and convince God otherwise? Do we try and tell him that our plan for how this is going to play out is better than his plan? Do we want to know the full picture before we have the courage to take the first step? Or do we trust that step by step, God will be our guide? Do we stop and focus on the problem and what could go wrong? Or do we trust and obey? Do we step out and step into the purposes God has for us? I wonder this morning where our trust levels are at. Are we really up for God having control and of giving over to him the reins we want to hold for our own lives? As I was preparing yesterday, I was reminded of a talk I gave a long time ago, of a word that I gave to someone, and I really felt that God just was encouraging me to speak this into us again as we think about what it means to trust God. You see, when it comes to following God's purposes for our life, most of us want a roadmap. We want to be able to look ahead at the journey we're going to take. If I start off on this road, I'm going to turn right at this point. I'll then go through this bit and that bit, and eventually I'll find myself at the destination. The problem is, though, that God's guidance in our life, the way that he leads us, isn't like a roadmap, it's like a sat-nav. Because as we go, step by step, he gives us the next part of our journey. The problem is, will we trust that sat-nav? Or do we want the roadmap so that we can make our route to the destination that God has for our lives? I don't know about you, but I quite often, when I'm driving, get into an argument with the sat-nav because I think I know better. In 100 yards, turn right. Now, I know if I stay on this road, I'm going to get there quicker. The problem is, the sat-nav already knows there's a road jam up ahead. If I just listened and gone right, I would have got there quicker. God knows the obstacles on the path, the reroutes that need to happen. But are we willing this morning to trust the sat-nav? When God tells us to go right, will we just go right? Or will we argue on? When Jesus tells you to go, when Jesus tells you to come, will you choose to follow his instructions and step out in faith? Because when Peter asks to go to Jesus, Jesus says, "Come." Peter actually starts to walk on water. You see, with Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. The circumstances and how things seem to work turned upside down. Last week we saw the breadcrumbs became the buffet. Today we see Peter walk, not just in the storm, but on the storm, upon the waters towards Jesus. You know what? The fear of the storm, or the fact that it's not actually possible to walk on water, should have kept Peter in the boat. But instead, he followed Jesus' instructions. He trusted in Jesus' hands and in his care that everything would be okay. You know, so often we focus on what happens next as Peter starts to sink. But let's not miss what happens first. When Peter follows the words of Jesus, when Peter focuses on his Saviour, when his devotion and longing to just be with Jesus, no matter where it was, were the markers of Peter's actions, he actually walked on water through the storm. Do we want to walk on water today? Do we want to see our full potential realised? Do we trust in Jesus' words more than how the circumstances and situations we find ourselves in seem to suggest? This morning, are our eyes on Jesus or on the battles and storms we're facing today? Do you know, I think it's fascinating that it's when Peter takes his eyes off Jesus, it's when he realises he's doing the impossible. It's when the wind roars in his ears, when he realises oceans are not actually the most secure of surfaces, that he gets into difficulty. It wasn't the storm that endangered Peter's life. It was his lack of focus. It was the dimming of his faith. It's when he doubted that Jesus was in the midst of the storm, when his gaze dropped and his circumstances roared louder than the reality of Jesus with him, when he forgot that he was walking towards the one who just a few chapters ago had previously stilled the storm with just a whisper. Peter didn't start sinking till he took his eyes off Jesus. It was not the storm that threatened to overwhelm him, but his fear, his lack of faith and trust that Jesus was with him and would enable him to walk on water too. When we're in a storm, whether that's a health battle, a problem at work, uncertainty over the future, waiting for exam results or tests to come back, when fear and anxiety roars in our hearts and in our ears, where do we put our trust? What difference does our faith make? You see, Peter could walk on water when his eyes and his faith were fixed upon Jesus. But when we take our eyes off the one whose hands we rest in, we know, don't we, the storms overwhelm us. Life is messy. We're unsure of the foundations upon which we stand. And we all know we so quickly become overwhelmed. We drown in our circumstances, in our worries, in our fears. So this morning, are we looking down at the circumstances and battles we're facing? Are we looking inwards, trying to find our own solutions? Are we trying to muster up enough strength to keep fighting? Or are we today going to choose to look up and look out, focusing on the one who told us to come, the one who holds the world in his hands and for whom nothing is impossible? Even the darkest night is not dark to him, the light of the world. Scripture is clear with us. When we come to Jesus, we aren't promised the easy, carefree life. But instead, we're promised that we will never face another fight on our own. We won't be alone against the storms of life, but we can know the reality that Jesus is with us. See, Peter starts to sink, and what does he do? He cries out, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus reaches out, takes him by the hand, and leads him back to the boat. And you know, read for us beautiful words from Isaiah chapter 41, the promises of God today come to pass in our gospel reading. God promised in the book of Isaiah, "I see you, I've chosen you, I will not cast you off. Fear not, I am with you. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my hand. I am the one who helps you, who holds you by the right hand." And Peter realized afresh what that meant, that though the storms will rage around us, though the waves will threaten to overwhelm you, you will not drown. Nor any of us who put our trust in Jesus. He sees you. He calls you to follow him. He will be with you in the struggles. He is there. Have you called out to Jesus today? Or are you still battling in your own strength? Are you so stubborn that you don't need anyone's help? Cry out to Jesus. Know his hands holding you, leading you back towards the boat. See, Peter was sinking. In his panic, he reached out, he cried out. And in that moment of fear, he knew that Jesus was with him. That Jesus' hands were strong to catch him and hold him above the waters. Though the waters were rising, they would not overcome him. Peter had been walking on water, but he'd taken his eyes off Jesus and started to sink. But Jesus hadn't taken his eyes off of Peter. Jesus responded to Peter's cry for help. Friends, let's all cry out to Jesus that we might know his saving hand. Even when we lose sight of God, his eye is on you. He doesn't cast you off. He's ready to save. Cry out, feel the grip of the one who holds the world in his hands, who longs to lead you through the storm today back into the boat. I don't know if you ever noticed before, but the storm doesn't stop when Jesus comes close. See, sometimes we're in a storm and we think, if I could just be in Jesus' presence, then the storm would stop. And then we spend time with Jesus, but the storm rages on around us. The storm doesn't stop just because Jesus is approaching the boat. And friends, the storm doesn't stop when Peter gets out of the boat. It's not as if as soon as his feet hit the water, suddenly it's smooth and lovely again. No, Peter walks on water in the midst of the storm. Even in the uncertainty that he finds himself in, he trusts Jesus enough to get out the boat. I wonder if we're willing to step out in faith, even in the midst of the storm. You know, there's a famous popular saying that says, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. And guess what? The gospel reading today is saying, is trusting in Jesus isn't about waiting for everything to look perfect or make sense. It's about being willing to step out and follow Jesus, even when it doesn't. Because Jesus says to you to come. Will you trust Jesus as Lord even when the storm rages? Will you trust that he is with you and for you even when the wind is buffering? When the road ahead looks dark? You know, so often, and I speak to about myself as much in this sentence, we want to see the full picture. We want to be really sure before we're willing to trust and be all in for Jesus. What if we're willing to let go of the edge first in order to ice skate or ride the bike? You don't know how powerful the bungee rope is until you step off the ledge. The parachute doesn't achieve its potential until you've jumped out the plane. Some of us don't know the full promises of God to be true in our life or how strong Jesus is to save, because we'd rather keep clinging onto the wall we know about than step into the freedom and fullness and step out in the midst of the uncertainty. Better to stay where I am, clutching this wall that might give me the support I need for now. You know, ice skating isn't fun unless you're gliding across the ice. It's scary, I get it, but it's fun. When you hold on to the wall at the side, you're just watching in. To be honest, you're just getting sore feet. You're missing out on how it's supposed to be. Today, why don't we go all in for Jesus? And not just a tiny bit of the experience. Because if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat, even when it's uncertain, even though the storm is still raging. When Jesus says, come, will we have the faith to trust and go? How are you going to respond to Jesus today? Will you step out onto the water when he calls you? Will you trust in him even when you can't see the final destination? Or will you stay in the boat? You know, it's always really troubled me, and maybe it has you, or maybe you haven't thought about it before, but didn't the other disciples want to walk on water too? Okay, maybe they wouldn't have had the courage to be so daring to ask Jesus to tell them to come. But once you'd seen your mate, Peter, walk on water, wouldn't you want to do it too? Today, let's all get out the boat and walk towards Jesus through and on top of the storm. You know, someone said to me recently, and it's kind of stuck with me, Amy, I wish I could have faith like you. The good news is, everyone, today you can. All you need to do is step out, to trust and obey. When Jesus says, come, how will you respond? How can we not let the world speak louder than the Saviour? How can we refuse to let fear drown out faith in our lives? What would it look like if our trust in Jesus beat our fear of our circumstances or our storms? What if Jesus, not the battle we face, dictated the next steps in our life? Let's not sit on the sidelines as others step deeper or further in their faith with Jesus. Let's all step out the boat. Let's all walk on water. Let's all join in with the one who moves mountains, the one whose whisper stills the storm, the one who holds the world in his hands, but yet stoops low to catch us when the storms and the waves become overwhelming. In the midst of the storm, do you see Jesus with you? Do you know his saving hand? Will you trust him enough to step out and go when he bids you come to him, even through the storms we face? Do you believe the one we follow is strong to save? He will catch us, and that in him we can do the impossible. If you want to walk on water, it's time to get out of the boat and trust that Jesus is with us in and through the storms we all battle this day.